Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
I'm going to wrap up my series today on hidden treasure. I know We're just getting rolling, and I think I can land this plane pretty much on time. Does everyone say it's okay? If I go over, is it okay a little bit? You know, we're the second service. We had a lot to do today, but I've been speaking out of scripture in Isaiah 45, 1 through 3, but I'm going to start at verse 2 today. He says, I will go before you, and I will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and I will cut through the bars of iron. Man, that is sounding like deliverance to me right there. Why? Why does God want to do these things? Because he says this, I will give you hidden treasures. Somebody say hidden treasures. Riches stored up in secret places so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. That's you. You know, when the Bible says that summons you by name, yeah, this is written to someone. It was written by Isaiah, but it's a prophetic utterance. That means it carries through time. It comes all the way to our church service today. When I read that scripture, when God says, I will give you hidden treasures, he's saying, I'm going to give you hidden treasures. Not just mankind, not just the world, you personally, God is going to give you hidden treasures. It's things that have been hidden from you, for you, so that the world won't steal it away. Okay, so we're going to learn today about the third hidden treasure that I believe God has for us. The first one, we talked about X marking the spot, right? You guys know that in treasure maps, X marks the spot. What do you do where the X is? That's where you dig. That's where you get busy. That's where you start to do the work to retrieve the treasure. And God has treasure hidden in his word, and he's got treasure hidden in the world for you, but it's hidden, and you got to go to the Holy Spirit, and you got to ask him where it's at so that he can show you how to bring that out. You know, I'm always brought to that story with the taxes, and Jesus, you know, he came to Jesus and said, I need to pay the taxes, Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Go catch a fish. It's the strangest answer. Isn't that just strange? Like, go catch a fish. But when you catch that fish, there's going to be a gold coin in the fish's mouth, and use that to pay the taxes. You see, the treasure was hidden in the fish's mouth, and God knew to tell him to go catch the fish to get the coin, because if the coin would have been laying on the beach, what are the chances that they would have actually gotten that coin? Somebody else would have grabbed it, right? You ever been the one that actually finds the 20? Such a beautiful moment. You're just like, what? Oh my God, there's a 20. Yeah. Oh, yeah, going to Chick-fil-A. I always gotta do a plug for the Lord's chicken, you know? But X marks the spot. And what we've been learning about, the first one that we learned about, and if you didn't pick up on it yet, I've actually been preaching the vision of the church through this hidden treasure series. What's the, Cody, can you put that up? The vision of the church? It's what? What do we do? Come on. Experience God, Tammy. Wait, hold on now. Let them do it. You do it every week. So it's experiencing God. And we talked about the first hidden treasure was our relationship with God, that it's through faith in Jesus and no other way. You can't be good enough. We learned all that. We say it a lot, but it's important because people forget. Then we talked about embracing grace and how it's by grace through faith that we've been saved, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. We talked about the gift of grace. Well, today I want to talk about engaging with others, okay? And how that was so important for me in my walk as a Christian, and how it's very important for you. It is a hidden treasure to actually learn how to just be a part of the family of God. to engage with others. That means being in a family. Anybody have a family? Anybody not have a family? Exactly. We're going there, man. Don't blow the punchline, Mike. But anyway, I found a family in 1988. I had a family, but I found a family. I visited my first church, okay? And I met Jesus, and I believed in him. And my whole life changed as I plugged into this church, you know? They welcomed me in, and they didn't, you know, totally come after me, like, hey, boy, you need a haircut. You need to get it right. Let's get you cleaned up, and let's take that satanic t-shirt off and sew those holes up in your jeans, because I was a heavy metal guy, you know? I was like, yeah, rock and roll, man. You know, I was that guy. But you know what? I found a family at that church. You know what I mean? And I served in that church for 33 years till God called me here. Okay? And it was a beautiful experience to develop and find family there. And you know what? God has actually ignited a new family here at Lighthouse. When I took over the church, there was about 30 people here. But look around. God is building a new family of believers here, and that's what I want to talk to you today about. You know, because we should be a family as a church. Okay, we can't keep trying to build a brand. We can't keep trying to build a logo and a church that is just about what the church is about. We've got to build family. We've got to be able to pull together and actually get to know each other, okay? You know, some of you sneak in and you sneak out. Well, we're coming for you. Because we want family. We want you to be part of our family. We're going to give you Krispy Kreme donuts until you're addicted and you can't stay away. Okay? You know that the manna from heaven has arrived. It's in there. Okay, so grab one on the way out or I'll grab another one. But, you know, churches are again starting to become families. And it's about time, isn't it? We've got to be families gathered under a pastor, under a shepherd, somebody who's leading the family, and then in communion with the Holy Spirit. We're doing communion and being in fellowship with God, and we're worshiping him for one purpose, to build a kingdom. We're not building a location. We're not building Lighthouse Church. We're not building Pastor Kevin's ministry. We're not. We are building the kingdom of God. And I'll go as low as I gotta go to lift you up as high as I can to see you become all that God's called you to be. It's not about recognition. It's about us seeing people come to know Jesus Christ and find their fulfillment in the world, and then for us to go and win the lost. Okay? So, you know, we all have a family of origin, right? You know, we're all born into a family. Some of us had a great family. My family was a little dysfunctional. My dad left my mom for another man when I was 10 years old. I was abused a little bit. But you know what? I didn't get as good a deal as some of you. Some of you got more of a raw deal than I got. You know, your family was dysfunctional or abusive or horrible in many ways. But you know what? We are now part of the family of God here at Lighthouse Church, and that's a totally different family than what you have been born into. And what tried to define you by your family of origin, God is going to wash away in the blood of Jesus and forgiveness and the removal of shame and condemnation. He's going to wipe all of that away and put you into his new family and show you how to do life the right way under his family, becoming our family, and then our family reaching out and creating and building a new family in the community. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
We're still going to have crazy Uncle Steve. He's here somewhere. You'll find him eventually. But that's why God has gifted us with this very precious gift. Okay, we have the Holy Spirit, and God's church is supposed to be a group of people that are in a relationship doing life together, right? So what is the number one thing that you need if you're going to be in a relationship and doing life with other people. And I found it in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And you want to know what it is? It's really powerful. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So what do you mean, Pastor? Yeah, if you're going to be in a family, you're going to need the fruit of the Spirit, bro. You're going to need every fruit it's got. You're going to need every grape. You're going to squeeze those grapes into juice every day, drink them. You're going to have the apple, the orange, all of it. You're going to need every possible fruit there is to be in a family for God, okay? And that is this, love. Say, we need love, right? And God is love. But, you know, when you're dealing with people, you need peace. And you need what? Long-suffering. What does that mean? You're going to suffer a long time when you try to communicate with people and do life together, and it's going to have to produce in you the next fruit down the line, kindness. What? I have to be kind? I hate being kind. I don't like being kind, Pastor. It's so much easier to yell at people when I'm driving. Then you need goodness, faithfulness. See, we learn all of this interacting with each other. It's not about like, well, you know, church family isn't, it shouldn't be something you just check out of every time your feelings get hurt, because you're going to learn to be faithful and gentle and lastly have self-control. Because I assure you, I'm going to test you, much less the rest of the people around here. But we need the fruit of the Spirit to operate as a family, okay? But God is calling us to be a family. It's very important. Well, how do you prove that to me in Scripture, Pastor? Okay, well, let's look at some of the family language that is found all through Scripture, okay? First of all, you're the children of God. I can show you that in Scripture. It's in 1 John 3:1. Look at this. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called what? The children of God. You're God's child. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. So in other words, when you act like a child of God, the world's going to go, something different about them. You know, if you're just looking like the rest of everybody else, you know, you may need to make some adjustments. We'll just leave it at that. But then you are a family of believers. Say, we're a family. Okay, therefore, in Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of what? The household of faith. So this is God's house. So that means we're in his family. We're his children. And he is loving us and teaching us and training us how to do life. You know, we're members of God's house. Here it is again in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow citizens with the saints and a member of the household of God. Look at that. You are fellow citizens with the saints. That means everybody that's gone before us, everybody who's passed and is with the Lord, you're part of their family too. They're cheering you on. They're watching us, and they're saying, this is your generation. This is your time. Let's see what you can do. We gave it all we had when we were here. Let's see what you can do. So we're going, and then we're sitting here. We need to be lifting up the next generation, saying, come on, guys. Let's raise you up to be who God's called you to be in the world as well. You see, we're all in this together. It's like what? What's that? What's that movie, show? Oh, High School Musical. Yeah, we're all in this together. Heard that way too many times at my house. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. God's saying, we're connected. Someone's sad, you're going to be sad with them. They need a friend. They need somebody to step alongside and put their arm around them. Cry with them. Cheer with them. Celebrate their kids' birthdays. Be a family. It's important. You know, none of us have grown up with a perfect family, right? You know, some fathers have been abusive. You know, some have abandoned their wives and their kids. Some wives have left their homes and kids behind. Some people have been emotionally abusive in relationships. Brothers and sisters have been cruel to one another, you know? You know, that's real, right? And when me and my sister were growing up, oh, man, we would go at it, man, and I won every time. I would do the Chinese spit torture. I'd hold her on the ground and then just let this come out of my mouth and bring it down, touch her on the nose with it, and then go, and pull it right back up. I did that, no joke. I am not lying to you. It's called the spit torture. And she was like, ah, the whole time. And I just loved it. It was horrible. I look at it now, I'm like, gosh, I was horribly abusive to my sister. And some children are even disobedient to their parents. Can you believe that? But the bottom... Oh, you mean was I? Oh, you know it, man. My mom was like, she was turning gray in her 20s. But, you know, the bottom line is this. We have to let Jesus redefine to us what true family really means. Because we don't know. We don't understand family. We think we know. We think we understand. But true family evolves from God himself and is part of every aspect of our relationship with him. So, you know, I believe it this way. God's dream is to build his kingdom as a family for each and every one of us. God has a dream. I believe that. So you guys want to be a part of that, don't you? Isn't that important? Isn't that amazing? You know, Ephesians 1, 5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. This is right out of the Bible. By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, that is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. In advance, he already knew what you were going to do wrong. He already knew all the sin you were going to have in your life. He already knew you were going to blow it, you were going to mess up, you were going to have mistakes, you were going to not be the best person that you could be, but in advance, God decided to adopt you into his family. How did he do that? He gave his son so that if anybody would call on the name of Jesus, they could instantly be adopted into the family of God. Jesus is the door. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So how do we gain access to the Father? Through the Son. We give our lives to Jesus and everything is washed clean and wiped away, and we, from that moment on, can have a confidence in our lives that Jesus has brought us into the family of God. And we're part of his family. And guess what? Family's forever. You know what I mean? Thank you for that illustrious hallelujah, Mike. So, do you understand the idea of family, right? So what's the purpose then of us being in God's family? It's so that we can take the second part of the hidden treasure called evangelism in the kingdom, and we can bring others into the family. You know what I mean? It's not enough for just us to gain access to the family of God. God is like, no, you have been given access to the family so that you can go and bring other people into the family, so that you can raise them up out of the darkness of this world, out of the things in this life that have tried to take them out at the knees, and you can bring them to a place where they are now the hidden treasure that we are going to seek. And God, when you're at the mall or you're at Circle K or at Home Depot, you're just walking through and he's like, boom, you just see this X on somebody, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got to go dig there. There's treasure there. God's calling me to that person. You go, hey, how you doing? They're like, oh, you wouldn't believe it if I told you my life. And you're just like, man, let me share Jesus with you. It's God already knows. He strategically places us and shows us the X's that mark the spot for those who are lost. And there's a moment that I had and each of you had and that everyone out there is waiting to have where somebody like you comes up and shares the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, that they have been forgiven, set free, and that nothing that they've ever done in their life is going to discredit them from being able to.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Hey everybody, it's Pastor Kevin here. Just wanted to give you a quick reminder that we're going to be doing a pop-up praise event at Kiwanis Island Pavilion. There's a big gem show going on. We're going to be giving away food and just worshiping this Saturday, February the 4th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So come on over and hang out with us. It's going to be a great time. We want to worship the Lord in the middle of this event.
I just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. Oh, I just know Jesus is my God.
Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue's located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.